Something quite haunting, isn't it, when you hear those Jewish melodies and original Hebrew like that. If I were to bolt on the side of where we went last week, if you were here, like I say, we talked about being close up to God, the shadow of the Almighty, the secret place, the intimacy that we share with Him. And that sometimes can sound like a sort of one-off incident, and yet the message of salvation is God walks with us and our relationship with Him increases as the day goes by. So if I was to put a title, and I suppose I have done really, on what I just want to say in a few minutes this morning, it's rhythms and reminders. Rhythms and reminders. And let me play with you for a minute. Reminders, things that you encounter, smells, sights, sounds, words, that take you back to something or somebody. So let me throw a few words out here and let's admit to those who might go, yeah, I know what that means. Pac-Man. Nobody? Wearing the T-shirt. C-120 cassette. Anybody? A few. We're getting more people here. Just admit to it if you owned one, and I've got to embarrassingly say yes. Shell suit. No, denying it. Mandy, you and I, yeah. We did the shell suit thing. Oh, gosh. I don't know about certain, like, smells. So a story I've sort of told before from my sort of childhood, and I need a few sympathy R's with this. So if you visit somewhere in Birmingham, they've recreated a street of what is known traditionally as back-to-back houses. One of those is mine. Not quite, but you know what I mean. First 10 years of my life, this is where we had no bathroom or toilet. Come on. I'm okay now. Once a week, I can hold it, you know. There was a sort of row of four houses back to back. We went down the street. Then there was a little block, a yard, Yorkshire yard. And there was like four toilets in there. And we had a big key. Like some Hammer House of Horror was. But the routine was, because we didn't have a bath either, my mum was one of 14 and her next oldest down, she was the oldest. She lived about a mile away. And on a Friday night, obviously no car, single parent at home, we went for a bath. And to this day, I can sort of recall, it's just, this was my grandma's house that my auntie Doreen had sort of inherited as my grandma had died when I was very young. And she had a bath. Wow, that was like big for us. Like, you know, I'm sorry, all you like, you know, several bathrooms in the house. She had a bath. And on a Friday night, we'd go from school and we'd go down there, me and my sister. And we would delight in my auntie, who was quite an aggressive Yorkshire woman. So you were like scrubbed with a stone, not a sponge, you know, that sort of thing. I'm milking this, as you gather. Please don't, you know, be sending me shower gels after this or anything like that. And still to this day, and I got one from the toddler group just a few weeks ago, because my auntie Doreen, she always bought me a malt loaf called, thank you. Oh, you're here anyway. Sorry. And so every Friday night, she would cut it up and you could smell this. You go in the bath, you could hear the kettle on and you could hear her chopping up. And oh, yeah, there was a lot of language went on. Oh, yeah, that bath. And you come down and this, to this day, it's not one of those things, I hate it now, I love it. Malt loaf, best butter. I don't know if there was like a worse butter, but you called it best butter, didn't you? Like best butter. And thick enough on the malt loaf so you could see the teeth marks in it. Yeah? Oh, man, still to this day, give me. We have a big debate whether that's like sweet or savory. It's savory in my world, but I'm not going to argue that now. And that was the sort of routine and ritual on a Friday night. Down there, our tea, and we'd get a slap across the head without the social services coming. if I didn't do the little, like, don't forget the Soreen, Auntie Doreen. That was like the rhythm and ritual. And if I forgot to say it, it would be like, hey, yeah, dot, 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 sort of thing. That was like the routine, rhythm and ritual of every Friday for 10 years of my life. You can count them up. And it's really damaged me psychologically, as you can see, that I never will go near a bath now or eat meatloaf, not at all. I don't know some of the rituals that are part of your life, some of the sights and sounds and smells. You get out to the countryside and you can smell that fresh grass or when they're doing the silage across the thing and it registers something with you. I suppose probably the biggest ritual that we'll all tie into, but you may be a bit more free-flowing than many families, is Christmas time. If we were to sit here and go through, I'm sure for most of us here, there's something of a ritual about probably Christmas time and grandma so-and-so appearing at a certain time and what time you have the food and what order you do it in and when you open the presents and people stay over and all that sort of rituals and rhythms that go on that are just part of the magic of life. And we love it and it gives us that sort of focus point because now we're not that far away from it, are we? Rhythms and rituals. Why am I saying all this? Because when this comes up in a second, there's a ritual. Thank you. There's a ritual that dictated the life of any practicing sort of Jew at the time that these Psalms would be written. This is a very simplistic sort of cut and paste thing that I've thrown up here. There were others, but there were three main festivals that went on during the calendar of any practicing Jew. These were rhythms and rituals and reminders. Around springtime, you'd have Passover, which I'm sure many of you, not all of you, may know that is a celebration of the release from Egypt when God's people came out to begin a life of their own and to begin to be the nation that God called them to be. Not long after that is the Feast of Pentecost. We know it in terms of the Holy Spirit coming now, but originally it was the beginning of harvest time. 50 days after Passover, they would celebrate Pentecost or Shavuot. And then going right to the autumn, then the Feast of Tabernacles. That was the end of the harvest. We would know that today as Harvest Festival, the ingathering of all the crops and the celebration at the beginning of the end that God in his mercy had abundantly provided for his people. And that's when they'd bring the offering of tithes and all that they did into the storehouse. What's that all about? Well, let's bring it back to the Psalms. That's what we're talking about. Between Psalm 120 and Psalm 135, they are called the Song of Ascents. Not ascent as in ascent, A-S-C, ascent, going up. Why are they called that? Because of one simple thing. These Psalms were written as part of the ritual and reminder of where they were going and what they were going for. You know, whether you've been on holiday already this summer or you're about to go or whatever, again, there's a sort of energy and excitement. You pack the case, and if the kids are still at home and going with you, you know, you've got all your lists and you get everything in there, make sure you've got everything over the weeks that build up to it. There's quite an excitement, hopefully, around the house that you can have a bit of time together and see somewhere different, all that sort of thing. There was something about this with these rituals. And imagine it in a Jewish household, they would know that the time was coming. This wasn't just about us going to have a great time and great food, which was all part of it, all part of celebration. But actually, within that, the family would take the chance, particularly with the young kids as they're growing up, year after year after year, to remind them. They would say, Mark, remember in a couple of weeks, we're going to Passover. And you know that you and I, we're part of this crowd and back there and read the stories to them from the Torah. And that's why we're going to go. We're going to see Auntie May and Auntie Uncle Billy and all them people. They'll be there celebrating. And we're going to have a great time. We're going to eat lots of food. We're going to have great fun. We're going to enjoy it. We've got the thing booked. But let's not forget, at the heart of it all, we're celebrating the God who is our Lord, the center of our world, our life, our community. And they're talking about this as they go along. Imagine the journey, like the journeys that you've made in the reminders and rhythms of life, the holidays, the occasions, the traveling to all the stuff that sort of goes on and the conversations that surround that particular event. You go out to a wedding, there'll be conversations about the family and the last time you saw so-and-so and what might happen today, what songs have they chosen, etc., etc. It's all part of it all. This was what went on. This was the conversation. The majority of people would travel through the hillsides. And then some of them had traveled some hours. And then they'd come to the point where ahead of them, They could see it. Here was the focal point of our worship. Here was Jerusalem. And here's just one of the Psalms that's written out of the context of these families walking together, suddenly seeing ahead of them what it was they were going to. This is what they worked for. This is what they've talked about. And they look around in the gathering around. Somebody begins in that haunting way to perhaps sing a song. Somebody's written a little ditty for it. I will lift up my eyes. Kids, come on, look. To the mountains. Where does my help come from? And they're all looking. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And I don't know, just roll with me on this. I don't know whether people added to this as time went on. And somebody would shout, yeah, he'll not let your foot slip. And somebody would respond with like, yeah, he who watches over Israel, he'll never go to sleep or tire. And suddenly they're building something here. Yeah, the Lord watches over you. He's the shade at your right hand. Somebody else chips in. The sun, the moon will not harm you by day. And then somebody says, I've got the last line here. The Lord will watch over your coming going both now and forevermore. And then they meet up again a few months later. And somebody goes, what was that bit that you shouted, Jeff? You know, you remember the last time we were walking along here? So about, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Look, there they are, kids. Whoa, look. And all the kids' eyes would light up. And all the families around would begin to smile and be happy. But in there, it's not just about seeing something like you would see, you know, the visual sense of, we can see the sea. But something would stir inside the root of what they are and what they've been taught and what they saw and what they knew. This isn't just a city with a magnificent skyline that we're seeing here. This is a rhythm and reminder of the God that we serve, the commitment he's made to us, the people that we are, all that we are meant to be and all that we are meant to exhibit to the world around. Wow! What an occasion. What a possibility. If you've got a little yellow sheet on your chair there, if you sat on it, there's enough for everybody, more than. I got a bit carried away. Because it all begins with R. Remember being my Bible college days, you had to be not illiterate, literate. Hermeneutics, I think, wasn't it? Peas in a pod, you know, the power, the presence, the participation. If there is a rhythm and a reminder of life, not just when you come to church on a Sunday and you're saying to the kids, come on, we're going to go, we're going to sing some songs, Steve's going to speak, we're going to have some donuts afterwards. That's today. Yes. But not just when you come to church, although I trust there is an excitement and there is an energy, there's an anticipation. Not just, you know, what's going to be spoken about, what songs are we going to sing this morning. This is the place where we can encounter something fresh and new, hear something that might just change the axis on which we operate. Come on, look over there. We're parking across there. That's where they are. But not just that day to day to day, the rhythm and routine of life. This isn't just about coming on a Sunday. It's not just about the high times, three times and four times or 52 times a year. But morning by morning as we wake, that great sense of relationship and rhythm and reminder comes to us. Today, whatever I face, whatever bad, good or in between is going to be my day, the people that I'm going to meet, God walks by my side. I'm in his shadow. And today, whatever may come my way, I can look and I can say, I lift up mine eyes to the Lord. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. I want to give you a little, you've seen it already if you've read this through, a little rhythm and routine. Then you've got the gist of this psalm. And I'm not just talking about this, Sam. I'm talking about just taking a few minutes. It looks like, gosh, Steve's like taking 3 hours out of our day. No, not at all. As you make this a rhythm, I don't know how you read your Bible or whether you do it on your, how you do it, you know, on your tablet or whether you've got it somewhere else or you have it in the car. There's all sorts of things you can do. Songs that you can have. In the morning, the 4 hours for the morning, I read, reflect, respond, rest. Sometimes You might be in a rush someday, so like, you know, don't beat yourself up or me up. Just take time just to read how Sarah read that beautiful psalm to us this morning. And out of that, suddenly, a word shoots out and it becomes your imagination for a moment or two. Hey, stay there with it. Don't suddenly go, oh no, I've got to finish the psalm. No, no, no. Sometimes there's a moment when something sort of just hits you right there and you're going, and for the day, then you cannot get it out of your head. That's brilliant. Reflect. Chewing over a word or a statement, perhaps catch hold of something and say, today I'm going to remember, I've just read Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. So today I'm just going to chew over the idea that God is my shepherd. What does a shepherd do? He cares, he tends, he feeds, he makes them secure. That's what God is to me. Respond. Yeah, there's always things to pray about. Our inbox is full. But sometimes in response to what we have just read, we can begin to shape a prayer around that. Lord, may the shepherd that I know be the shepherd of my friends and my neighbors. May others get close to you. May they recognize you for what you are. You're responding. Then the Bible encourages to do that. It says, let the word of God dwell in you richly. Then you rest. You just let it settle. Wow, in the pace of life that we live today, this is quite a bit countercultural in a way, really. What about in an evening before we go to sleep after we've watched the news, match of the day, whatever it might be, depression as that was? Replay, rejoice, repent, resolve. Doesn't have to be a drawn-out thing. So replay in that reflection of in the soul. So what's happened today? What's my life been about? What have I achieved? Who have I met? Has my work been successful? Am I frustrated? Am I happy? Rejoice. So where today did I really feel a surge of God's grace in my life? Always opportunity to repent. Lord, I'm sorry if today something I've said, done, the way I've responded to somebody has caused me not to be the clean vessel you want me to be. Just now, before I sleep, just wash and cleanse me. Then resolve. What a great way to finish the day. I resolve that tomorrow, if necessary, I'm going to live even more for you. I'm going to be the person that you've called me to be. Rhythm and reminder. I want to pray in a minute when I finish before the band come back and lead us in a final song. Sometimes you need to do something rather than just try and remember what I've said or read the weekly starter tomorrow. Sometimes I've got stuff in my office there. Say nothing. There's somebody in this church calls it tat. Disgraceful. To me, as a believer, it's memorabilia. That's a better word, isn't it? Memorabilia. No. Little bits, every time I get the chance to go somewhere around the world, I just buy something significant or sometimes a little bit insignificant. And go in there and have a look, and mostly you'll agree, tap, yeah, you will. One or two of you, more appreciative people. Just things so that I can look and I can go, gosh, I can remember 20 years ago preaching in the Czech Republic and that crowd of people, young leaders, what are they doing today? Where are they? Who are they influencing? Are they leading churches? Are they still walking good with God? All the other bits and bobs, the privileges I've had to go to places or do things that have been significant for my life. In rhythms and reminders, these people weren't just told, okay, just at that time of the year, if you could remember the Passover, or the tabernacles or Pentecost, that'd be really helpful to remind yourself. No, they put something on. They had a show. They celebrated. There was great jubilation in the main city. A reminder that even if you've forgotten over the last 11 months, even if it's grown a little bit faint, here you are again being reminded very strongly and clearly that this is you. This is what. And I want you to take that from this morning in this incredible psalm and look around you at the people here, look into yourself and ask the same question that these pilgrims asked. Where does my help come from? I've even got a little, I think, Jeremy, you gave us some stones years ago, didn't you? Something to do with, we preached from the book of Joshua. And I've got mine still in the car, in the little you know, where you put your drink thing there. A reminder of all those years ago when Jeremy stood up and spoke about those stones that they picked out as a memorial for what God was doing and where he was taking them. Reminders and rhythms. I'm going to invite you this morning just to set up your own reminder and rhythm, whatever that might be, to make sure that you don't just wander off and, you know, lose the plot of like, why am I here? What am I doing? What's the purpose in life? Why has God saved me? Why are we in church? Really live that purpose-driven life that God has called us to live and keep the rhythm of life. Keep the reminders there. Keep right at the forefront of everything. God is my first resort, my last resort, and everything in between. Let's finish by reading this psalm. I'll read verse 1 and then 7 other people have got the chance, nice and loud, to read a verse each. Here we go. I will lift up mine eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? Wow. It's God's word for you and I. Let's stand as the musicians come up and let's just read this aloud together as all one body, a declaration, a reminder, and then take those sheets home with you. But let's confess this. Our God, here we go. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore.